Yud Dalet Tammuz, Friday the 15th of July, Rabbi Moshe Jacobson, the Knaas of Pinchos.
The Pasuk, we'll go through the Pasukim and we'll describe the Knaas of Pinchos. The Pasuk starts off by Dabar Hashem Moshe Lemoy. The word Lemoy asks the Or HaChaim, what Lemoy means? That Moshe has been commanded to say something over to somebody else. However, a few psukim later, the pasuk says, "Lachein emor." Please go and tell over. So, what is Lema doing over here? Says the Arachaim that "Lachein emor" was go and tell Pinchas hinni nosan nos v'sishalom. That please go and tell Pinchas that he's done well. The Lema over here is go and tell Klal Yisrael, go and tell the Shvatim, go tell everybody what's happened here and that the Ribbono Shel Olam is pleased with the action. So, question number one today is, why was it so important to tell Klal Yisrael? The Pasuk continues, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKohen. So Rashi explains that the Shevatim had a taina, they had a claim. And this Pasuk was here to answer to their claim. So they said, their claim was, Harisem ben Putizer, have you seen this? His grandfather was a priest who was Mefatim, he was fattening Agalos. So therefore the Pasuk says, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKohen, to tell you that his Yichus is Aaron HaKohen. So I have two questions on that. Number one is, that's very nice that you bring me that he has a Yichus from Aaron HaKohen, that's from his grandfather's side, but what was the cause of his actions was from his mother's side. He still has his mother's genes. So why does it help us to tell us that his grandfather was Aharon HaKohen? And secondly, we know that the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't look at Yichus. Yichus doesn't really play a role. If somebody's done an Avera, it doesn't matter if he's the Belzer Rebbe's son. It doesn't matter who he is. His Yichus is not going to help him.
Well, what's he doing?
His yichus doesn't play a role. Was it right what he did or was it not? What does it help us to tell us Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKohen? You should know that his grandfather is Aharon HaKohen. So I'd like to answer this one, start answering this by explaining what exactly is yichus? What's the importance and what is it when the Torah tells us the yichus of somebody, what's the Torah doing? The yichus shows us the makor, the source of the action that was taking place. When the Torah mentions, normally the Torah will mention two generations, a son and the father. For example, when the Torah is going through the meraglim, so you've got Shamua ben Zakur, you've got Shofar ben Chori. Why is it when the Torah comes and tells us, when the Torah is going back three generations, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKohen, the Torah is telling us the source. What triggered off the actions of Pinchas? Let's go back to his yichus, let's go back to his source. And the source is Aharon HaKohen. For example, later on in the parasha we have the Benos Tzolofchot. They come to Moshe and they say that we would also like some land. So the Torah says, who are Tzolofchot? They're Tzolofchot ben Chefer, ben Gilad, ben Moche, ben Menashe. Where do they come from? They come from Mishpachas Yosef, says the Torah. What was Yosef? Just like Yosef, says Rashi. Just like Yosef, he had a love for the land. And he said, please take my bones out of Mitzrayim and take them up to Eretz Yisrael. So he had a love for the land. So too, his great-great-great-granddaughters, Tzolofchot, the daughters of Tzolofchot, they as well, they possess that. They had that, they're coming from that source, from Yosef, and they as well, they have love for the land, and therefore they would like also to have a portion in the land. You see another example, in a few parashas away, Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kahos ben Levi. What's the source of Levi? So Rashi explains over there that Yaakov davened, he asked, please don't mention me with the machlokus of Korach. What's the source of Levi? We go back to the story of Shechem and Dinah, where Shimon and Levi, they massacre the whole of Shechem, innocent people. And Yaakov tells them off, and Yaakov says, how can you do such a thing? And they answer back, Hakazaina Yasa Sachisenu, are we going to just let our sister be like a harlot? So has Yaakov himself not told the children off, not told Shimon and Levi off? He himself would have been equally guilty, but he put it right, and he said, he told them off, but they remained with that Avera of Shechem, and therefore Korach was the source, we go back all the way to Levi. So the Pasuk continues, Bekana es kinosi b'socham. Rashi explains, this is a Lashon of kinah, a Lashon of jealousy. Now, if I was looking at the whole story of Pinchas, why is this jealousy? If anything, it's zealousness, with a Z. But why is it, why jealousy? Where's the jealousy over here? I heard once from Ramasio Salomon to explain what is jealousy? Jealousy is when somebody else has something which I rightly believe belongs to me. I think it belongs to me, so therefore I'm jealous of him, and I feel that he's got something that really it should be mine. How do you overcome jealousy? The best way to overcome jealousy is to think to yourself that whatever I've got, I deserve. Whatever he got, he's got, is beshert, and he deserves. So, but that's how jealousy works. For example, my friend does a good shidduch, and I'm exactly the same as him. I mean, he's my good friend, and he's done very well. He's got himself a very good girl. So I feel that he's sort of taken away my girl. Or sort of my friend has a good car, a nice car. But I feel that I could have also got that good deal. And it works as well with spiritual things as well. It's really an example which, it's sort of a yeshivish example, we'll say. But you come out of the bathroom and you see somebody standing there shuckling away saying Ashiyotza, right? And you think to yourself, Meshuggah, I mean, what's he doing? Why is he doing that? Why is he saying Ashiyotza like that? So, but maybe this person is actually genuine. Maybe he's genuine, but I have a little bit of jealousy inside me because I feel he's taking something away from me. I feel I'm very close to the Rabboni Shlomo, and so what right does he have to say his brachas like that? He's sort of taking away from my frumkeit. So what do? I take revenge. I say to myself, oh, he's different. He's a meshuggah. Or I say, how's the revenge when somebody has a nice car? My revenge would be if he smashes the car, then I'll be happy. Or if somebody's shidduch is not working out so well, so I'd be happy. So here Rashi's megala to us that there's jealousy going on here. Because we know that kutsha berichu v'oiraiso, kutsha berichu v'yisrael chadhu. We and the Rabbeinu Shleilam, we are all one. Pinchas therefore sees that somebody over here is being pogea, he's damaging the kavod of the Rabbeinu Shleilam. So in effect, if me and the Rabbeinu Shleilam are all one, so he's damaging my kavod. So he's taking something away from me. Pinchas is jealous here. So his zealousness is really jealousy, and he's saying he's taking away from my kavod. I'm gonna take revenge, and that's benokim es nekmosi. That's the nekama that Pinchas is taking.
If you would like to put the head, your head over the head, do so. Does it stop you from doing it yourself?
Yeah, you're quite right. So that's why it's bothering me that he's from us. So the pasuk continues. We'll continue. V'shem ish Yisrael. So how far does Pinchas take his revenge? So here, why are we telling Klal Yisrael? Over here, we have to tell Klal Yisrael the extent of how far the revenge has to. Pinchas is taking the revenge. It didn't say it in last week's parsha, but over here, when Moshe is telling over to Klal Yisrael, when he has to tell over to, so how far is he taking V'shem ish Yisrael? So who is this? So Rashi says this is the Shvach of Pinchas, that even though this was the Nasi be Yisrael, nevertheless this didn't stop him from taking revenge. This didn't stop Pinchas from going all the way. And the pasuk continues, Nasi be Yisrael Lashim Oini. again, we're bringing the Yichus down, and we're saying that this is from Shimon. And if we know, if we go back to Parshas Vayechi, when Yaakov is giving the brachas to the children before he's Niftar, so he's telling off Shimon Velevi. It's Shimon Velevi, and he says to them, "Besodom al tovei nafshi." When you're bringing this story, when you're bringing the Yichus of Zimri, the story that happened with Zimri, don't bring my name. Stop at Shimoni. Say that Zimri was the descendant of Shimon. Don't go all the way and say that he was from Yaakov as well. And he continues, the Pesukim over there continue, Bekaholam al Techad Kvoidi. When you're saying over the Maisa of Korach, like we said before, again, don't bring my name into the story of Korach. Again, Korach is the source from Levi. Korach is the grand descendant of Levi. And two things that you, Shimon Velevi, did that triggered off your grandchildren's actions. Two things, Kiba Apom Hogu Ish, which is the story of Shechem. Ish, Rashi explains why that's Shechem. Ovid Sonom, Iku Sho, which is referring to Yosef. And because of what the actions you did, the sale of the Mechiris Yosef. So again, that you were punished with, and your descendants did what they did. So the Gemara explains in Sanhedrin Pei Beis what was the state of affairs that was going on over here with Zimri. And the Gemara explains that the Shevatim, they run to Zimri and they say, "Can't you do something about it? You're a Shevet. There's mass amount of people that are being killed." So Zimri goes to Moshe Rabbeinu and he says, "Ben Amram, Zu Asura Muteres. Is this Muta or is this Asa?" So of course Moshe says, "This is Asa to marry Aramis." So he says, "Oh yeah, if it's Asa, then Bas Yisro Mihitir Lacha. Who allowed you to marry the daughter of Yisro, who was Yisro already?" So Rashi explains that the Taina wasn't anyway a good Taina, because when Moshe married Yisro's daughter, it was before Matan Torah anyway. So Bas Noach was a Bas Noach, and then with Matan Torah, everybody was Megaya Megayeres. So an act of Kanois is taking place over here with Zimri, and Zimri is not putting right the Kanois of his descendant. He's not being Mesakim. His descendant did the Maisa of Shechem, and he goes ahead and with his Kanois, and he marries the Aramis. So we have, originally we have Shimon Velevi, who were sort of partners in crime, let's say, and they're being told off for their Kanois, for what they did with Shechem. And they answer back, "Hakuzayna nasala esachesenu," that will we allow our children, our daughter, our sister, to be like a zayna? And here we have Pinchas. On the other hand, we have Pinchas, who's putting right what his descendant did, what his ancestors did. They came with a kanoas, and Pinchas is coming with a kanoas and putting right the damage. So on the one hand, we had over there, we had Shimon Velevi, they were achim, they were partners in crime. Now we have Shimon on the one side, who's doing a kanos, he's continuing the kanos, he's continuing in a bad way, but Pinchas in a good way is being mesakin, he's doing a kanos letova, he's rectifying the original mistake. The Medrash Tanchuma actually says in Baal Yischa that Shevet Levi were very much Mesakan. They put right their ancestors, their Kanoos, they weren't involved with the Chet of the Egel, and also in Mitzrayim they learned Torah, so we see that they were Mesakan it. So if they were Mesakan it, then what happened with Korach? Korach was a descendant of Levi, and he as well came with a Kanoos. And we see that Yaakov, as we mentioned before, in the Pasuk of Besodom al Tovei Nafshi, Yaakov had two complaints to his children. He said that there was the Maisa of Shechem, and there was also the Mechiris, there was the Mechiris Yosef. And Korach, so Korach, let's look at the actions of Korach. Korach is a continuation, really, of the sale of Yosef. The sale of Yosef was an act of Machlokas, an act of period, and they were saying, who says they didn't like the way Yosef was acting, and they said, who says you should be boss? Who says you're the king? And therefore, their sale created a period, created a machlokus in Klal Yisrael. Korach was exactly the same. He was continuing with that source, with that yichus, and that's why we mention all the way up to Levi, that he was continuing, and he, again, he created, who says Moshe, who says your chief, who says your boss, who says Aaron's in charge. And again, what happened? There was a period and a machlokus in Klal Yisrael. Pinchas came along, and as well as being Mesakan and putting right the Maisa of Shechem from Levi, he was creating a Kiddush Hashem, and he was creating Shalom. Hinni Nesin Laes Brisi Shalom. He was the Oyev Shalom, Veroidev Shalom. And that's why we bring back his Yichus from Aaron HaKohen, because Pinchas was there, he was putting right, he was being Mesakan, that which his grandparents did many years ago. I once heard a story from Reb Chatzko, the famous Mashkiach. He said that a bocher came to him and said to him, was very upset, and said that there's another bocher in yeshiva who's reading certain magazines which are not kosher literature. So Reb Chatzko listened, and he said to him, he said, Echad Moira, I'm a bit nervous over here, that the geschmack was du hos mit the machar, the geschmack that you're getting out of this whole machar that you're making, this whole protest that you're making, is the zelbe geschmack from the Maisa Avera. It's the same geschmack that the other boy is getting from reading his magazines. Which means that there's many people, you see it particularly in Eretz Yisrael, there's a lot of mechors and burning dustbins and all different protests going on, but do they really mean it for the Kvod Shemayim, or is it they would themselves do the same avera, just they can't bring themselves to toe the line, they can't bring themselves to go to do it. So therefore, by them making a big protest, it's the same geschmack, really. It's really them doing the Maisa Avera, but it's in a different angle. This is why, again, the Pasuk has to tell us the intentions behind Pinchas. That don't think that Pinchas is doing it because he's Ben Poti there. That's not his intentions. He's not getting a geschmack from doing this action. The reason why he's doing it is because he's an Oyev Shalom Veroidev Shalom. The reason why he's doing it is because Kutsha Brich of Yisrael Chatu, that he feels that there's been a pagam, the covet of Shemayim is being damaged here. And that's why the Torah has to tell Klal Yisrael, has to tell us, that he's being Mesakan. He's trying to repair the damage that Levi did with the killing of Shechem and with the Mechira of Yosef, with the sale of Yosef. However, what's the difference, the thoughts, the machshavos, which are behind Pinchas's actions? If what he was doing is correct, we have here Zimri who's being boil and aramis, which is he's doing an avera. Therefore, somebody has to take action, and somebody has to be the shofet. Somebody has to be the judge here. Who cares what his intentions are? If his intentions are because he's getting a geschmack out of it, and he would also do the avera, or if the intentions are because he's Oyev Shalom v'Oyev Shalom, what's the difference over here? Why is it so important? I saw the Be'er Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Salant. He explains very nicely. He says that this halacha of Kanoim Pogimboy, the Habal Aramis Kanoim Pogimboy, that somebody who's bought on an Aramis, so then anybody who's a Kanoi over here, he can come along and kill them. It's a very interesting halacha. On the one hand, is this person who's doing the Avera, is he Chayav Mises Beis Din? He's not Chayav Mises Beis Din. So it's, on the one hand, it's quite lenient. Secondly, if it has to be done in a very in precise timing, if the Kanoi were to come after the Maisa Avera and kill the Baal Avera, the Avarian, he would, says the Gemara, he would be Chayav. It has to be done at the moment of the Avera, otherwise the person killing the Kanoi would be Ner Agalot. And another thing we see with Kanoi and Pagan Boy, that if the Baal Avera were to stop in the middle of the Avera and turn round and in self-defense kill the person who's trying to come and kill him, he's allowed to. Because we look at the Kanoi as a Rodef. He's somebody who's a murderer. So on the one hand, we see that there's very lenient halachas about for the Kanoi, for the person who's doing the killing. On the other hand, we see that it's very chomel. That we see that let's compare it to Mises Beis Din. So Mises Beis Din requires hasra. We need an edah to give the person hasra, to warn him beforehand before he does it. This, on the other hand, doesn't need hasra. So we see it's very much more chomel. Mises Beis Din, the person has to have a fair trial. You have to give him, you have to put him in front of Mishpat. Here we see that the Kanoi is his own shofet. He's his own judge. Mises Beis Din, they think about it overnight, and they before they do the Beis Din, we know that a Beis Din that kills more than once in 70 years is called a Beis Din of Katlonius, they're Beis Din of murderers. And here we see that anybody can go along and kill at his own whatever when it pleases him. We see that with Mises Beis Din, would they call out and they say, can anybody find a zechus for this person before they kill him? And they take him. The Gemara describes how they take him slowly on a horse so that they can, or there's a horse behind him so that they can, if they hear any zechusim, if they hear anything good for this person, they can run back to Beis Din and try and put right the psak. So we see that it's a very interesting thing, this Kanoi and Pogan Boy. We see that you can take the matter into your own hand. So what is it? Right. And all these things we mentioned about Mises Beis Din is for the Gimel Averis Chamorus, even for the most senior of the strictest of Averis, for Gibson of Avazar Shvichasamim. And here we see that Kanoim Pogim HaBoelis Aramis Kanoim Pogim Bo. So if you look at the actual din of Boel Aramis, if somebody's Boel Aramis, it's not something which you could take the person to Beis Din and have him killed for. It's not a Doraisa, and it's something which the Beis Din Shel Chashmonaim Gozru, the Beis Din of Chashmonaim were Gozer, that and his punishment would be Makas Mardus to Rabbonon. He would get Makas Mardus. So what's going on over here? What is it that it's not the actual Avira, which is the Kanoim Pogimbo, that the Kanoim says the Be'er Yosef, if you look at what's going on over here, this halacha of Haboel Aramis, Kanoim Pogimboy, is because of Chilul Hashem. It's because you heard at HaSinai that Am Yisrael Kadoshim, that we are Kadosh, and that we are our Am Segula, we are different to the Goyim. We are special. And in public, you are trying to show to the world that we're not so special. I'm happy to show you that we're no different to the Aramis. So it's an act of Chilul Hashem, Chilul Kvod Shemaim, but also, of course, an act of Chilul of Klal Yisrael. So you're showing with you're showing you're doing something in public which is a Chilul Hashem. On that, somebody who feels who's margish, who feels that that the Kvod Shemaim has been damaged, but only somebody who feels like that, not somebody who's getting gishmak out of the Avera himself, really, but only somebody who feels that, because as we were saying, the actual Avera is not something which deserves a Misa. It's the Chil Hashem, it's the fact that the Kovet of Hashem has been damaged. So only somebody who feels that, who feels and he wants to do a Kiddush Hashem, only somebody like that can go ahead and be the Kanoim Pogimboy, and do the Kanoz. And therefore, this is what the Torah here wants to explain to us. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKohen. Where's the source? This is coming from Pinchas, who's the grandson of Aharon HaKohen. He's doing it with all the right intentions, because somebody who doesn't have the right intentions has no right to do this. Pinchas is coming with the right intentions, and he's doing the kanos over here, solely and purely for Kedushas Hashem, for Kedushas of Klal Yisrael, and to rectify the misdeeds of the grandparents.